Welcome, Randy and Jamie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. And just pretty usual, we have this, like, this, this chronology seemingly as people sign on. I can almost predict who's going to be on first, who's going to be on last, and our patterns are showing up right here, right? It's what we do here, we do everywhere. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything.
Sadly, that's true. We're going to have to shake it up for you.
Okay. Well, let me just hit one button, and then you guys be thinking of who's going to lead the volunteer to ground, because we're going to get started right now. Who would like to take that on if you haven't done that already? And think of it as an opportunity.
I'm happy to take it on. I haven't done it.
Yay. Thanks, Randy. Okay, anytime you're ready.
Okay. Wherever you are, just take a good, deep, gentle breath. Let it out. Just feel your seat, or if you're standing, your feet on the ground. And just know that you are in the right place this time, the right moment. Take one more breath and enjoy this call that's coming.
Perfect. Nice and simple. Okay, well, welcome, everyone. I hope you've had a great week. I'm looking forward to our time together today. And per usual, we are going to get through a few shares. And today I'd like, if you are choosing to share with us, please one win, one personal challenge versus the action challenge that we took last week. And then how are you feeling at this point? This is our halfway mark. We're in week 6 of 12. So just briefly, how are you feeling in the program? We'll just keep it short. Hear from about 3, maybe 4 people, depending on time. So if you're not speaking actually throughout this call, let's just get in the habit of putting ourselves on mute to keep any background noise at bay. But if you're choosing to talk, go ahead and take it away.
It's Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Go ahead.
I feel pretty positive about the work that I've done behind the scenes, and I am looking forward to really, really understanding and moving forward with more knowledge and learning more about the whole process and understanding that it does take time and that we should all give ourselves time to really enjoy the process and not be so hard on ourselves. But I feel really positive and really good.
Wonderful. Is there a particular challenge that comes to mind that you experienced this past week that you'd like to share?
Still the computer and, you know, trying to find all the paperwork and being clear on which week we're on. You know, we had a few screw-ups. In the beginning, we added another week, and then, you know, I had a switch, and just trying to get into the computer and finding all the forms, the paperwork that we need is challenging for me still.
Okay. Well, just
but I knew that. I'm working on.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, and thank you for sharing. And just so you know, if offline you want to talk to me about getting organized or making sure you have everything you need so you can fully show up each week without stressing about what you do and don't have, just reach out to me personally, okay? I'm happy to help you
with
that.
So when you stay offline, what does that mean?
Not right now.
No, I know. I understand that. But
oh, I'm sorry.
Offline.
Anytime.
Offline.
We can talk on the phone. You can just call me.
Okay,
anytime.
Great.
Thanks. Thanks, Sue. Who would like to go next?
Hi, Will. It's Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
Following my pattern, right?
Patterns are not necessarily bad, and no judgment, right? It's just we do what we do.
My kids have said, Mom, don't be like the girl that's got her hand raised all the time that the rest of the class hates. So I try not to be that. I really feel wonderful about this course. When I started it, I think I had mentioned that I was really just trying to open a door to see what was out there and pique my interest in other things. But as we go deeper, I feel that I'm going deeper, enjoying it more, and actually embodying it more, where I think this way all the time. I mean, I'm really starting to think this way with me when I have conversations with anyone, and I suppose I'm internalizing it quite a bit. So that's good. On the other side of that, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. So I'm aware that I need to be very careful with this and not give myself more power than I actually have or should have. So that's how I feel about that. Something this week that I would say was not a win was I realized that I was holding on to some past resentment and residual anger towards my husband about things that I didn't even know I had until a conversation came up. And I didn't even address it that it was that. But it put me in kind of a dark mood, and then the next morning I realized, oh, that's what that was all about. So that was not a positive, but something that was a positive is I read in one of these readings this, something that really resonated with me. It says the anxiety that stops you is actually the feeling you create in stopping yourself. So I've been thinking about that quite a bit, and I'm going to use a yoga analogy. Well, this isn't even a yoga analogy. It actually happened. So I was in class today, and the teacher's like, we're going to do something crazy. We're going to get into Bhakasana. Then we're going to do a forward head roll. Then we're going to end up all standing in Tadasana. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I don't know, maybe I could do it. Maybe I'm just stopping myself. And I was able to do it. I was able to push through that anxiety of, like, breaking my neck.
Mm. So, wow. Awesome.
It was a biggie for me.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. And I just want to let you know that there – mowing the lawn right outside my house right here, but I can't go on mute because I'm leading the call. So hopefully they'll go away soon. Always challenged here. But anyway, embodying the work that we're doing, that's powerful. And I love that you shared that. So thank you. We'll take one more.
I can go. Not sure if anybody else has stepped up yet. Did it leave everybody? Is anybody there?
Yes, go ahead, Randy.
Here.
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. So, I kind of feel the same way. It's a really good place to be at this time in the call, in the class, because I feel like it's beginning to sort of build and the material starting to come together. I'm really appreciating some of my questions that I've had internally are slowly beginning to be answered, and I'm just enjoying the rereading and the rereading of things. So that's been good, and I'm really enjoying working with Jamie as my buddy. We have a nice little connection and some good ideas and working together. A win for me this week is I knew this was the week that I really had to start reaching out and getting practice clients. And I live in a co-housing community, so I sent an email out to our co-housing community and just offered free coaching sessions for people. And within 3 minutes, I had people respond enough so that I had enough people to fulfill what my needs were. So that was really nice. So I'm looking forward to that. And I suppose the challenge for me, probably a little bit with Sue, I hope I'm reading the right materials, but I'm sometimes not sure I'm on the right week doing the right assignments. So it's a pretty minor one, but that's there. But I think I've got it figured out. So that's the one challenge, other than being in Minnesota last week taking care of my daughter that was in the hospital.
Oh,
but
goodness.
All that worked out, so things were better.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing and offering free coaching sessions. I'm not surprised that people took you up on that immediately. So way to put it out there. Wonderful. So because two people have already expressed their questioning whether they're on the right page, just so you know, we're in week 6. And on the syllabus that you got, everything is laid out pretty simply. So the yoga syllabus, we're on week 6. And everything, if you've got the syllabus, that is your captain of this entire ship. Okay.
Sasha, can I say something?
Sure.
Okay, week 6, week 5, what I have is Genevieve as a coach, client is Carla. And Jamie was the observer, but last week I was the client.
Okay, so I was just speaking about the syllabus right now.
Syllabus.
Just the syllabus that tells you what lays out the entire program. And I'm going to spend a lot of time here in the group taking up logistical things. But I just want to let you know just very briefly and generally, the syllabus, we are on week 6. The coach has changed, and the page numbers on the yoga supplement seem different. So if you have any further questions, please reach out to me after the call or anytime outside the scope of the call, and I'll be happy to spend more time walking anyone and everyone who needs it through and make sure that you feel organized in that way. Is that fair?
Yep.
I guess.
Okay. Great. All right. So any questions on the reading material, pages 133 through 143? Excuse me, that's what we're getting to. Pages 133, 143 that we'll be getting into today.
Minor question on page 135, second paragraph. Second sentence, the greater the movement from the pre-success position and the shorter the time frame, the greater will be on the need for change.
Yeah, you know, you got me on that one, to be honest.
Well, maybe it's the greater will be the need for change.
Yeah, there are definitely some typos in this manual. It's just talking about that success, and I'm a journalist, so my eyes see it, and success also, you know, it's involving significant change, so I think, yeah, that is a typo there.
So should be the greater need for change. Okay,
right.
That makes sense.
Okay, but thank you for noticing that. I'm making a note.
Okay, there's a few others, and I might just email them to you, just caught throughout. On page 142, the script-specific behaviors, and they talked about the leading reasons that people resist change. I didn't quite get the last one. Narrow the choices.
Decide on attainable goal, what good enough is, and narrow a choice to fit that goal?
Yes.
What's the question?
Is that a reason people resist change?
Well, because oftentimes people won't go into change because they feel overwhelmed with the number of choices that they have. And so you want to scale the choices down, sort of distill down to what's really, really important by using the tools, you know, powerful questions, listening, what are their goals, what are their ideals. So you want to take it from this massive thing that might feel overwhelming to even take a baby step to scaling it down.
Okay, so that's probably just another typo. There shouldn't be a bullet point there because that's actually a solution for resisting.
Correct.
Not a resistance. Got it.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. Okay. All right. Something I wanted to add in from last week before we get into our agenda for this week, we sort of ran out of time, is talking about, we were talking last week about the coachable moment. And there's sort of rules of engagement. And when I speak about this, I'm talking about, you know, we talked about a coachable moment is the coach's aha. And when this happens, like say you are coaching someone and you have an aha moment, the rules of engagement that you will agree to before you start your relationship with your client is that you both give each other permission to interrupt, that it's okay both ways. And I think this may have come up from one of you in a previous inquiry, because they can continue with their dialogue, you continue in conversations, like when do you bring that up? And so the rules of engagement say that it is okay for either the coach to interrupt the client to interrupt the coach, and you've agreed to that way of engaging with each other prior to working with each other. And there are four basic rules that apply when you interrupt. You want to be super clear, so clarity is important. You want to keep it brief, brevity. You want to keep it simple. And you want to keep it specific. So if you can just add that into your notes, the four rules of engagement, clarity, brevity, simplicity, and specificity, and just understand that you've made that arrangement prior, that's super, super important. Any questions on that piece?
Can you say the four again one more time,
sure,
please?
Sure, absolutely. Clarity. Brevity, simplicity, and specificity.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And when you choose to engage, if you can keep those in mind, you know, when you're interrupting, it won't take up too much time. You know, you're just isolating that coachable moment and figuring out if that's a place that is resonant or not, and then move from there. Okay, great. Let's all turn to page 99, please. It doesn't look like Genevieve's on the call. I may just shoot her a quick email. So what we're doing in these subsequent sessions after we just generally went over the five tools of the simple coaching model is really taking one and making it its own session. And today we'll be talking about inviting the shift / shifting the perspective a little deeper. We're going to explore more tools to arrive at that place with your client. Would somebody like to volunteer to just, in their own words, summarize this particular tool? And we've got a bit of background noise, so if you're not talking, could you please mute yourself? Thank you. Still hearing the background noise.
Oh, this is Genevieve. It's me. Sorry, I left my phone at the yoga studio.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're with us. Thank you. All right. Who would like to talk about shifting the perspective?
So shifting the perspective as in offering other ways to other ideas, other thoughts on how to look at whatever the situation is, shifting the perspective?
Yeah, just, you know, basically how you understand page 99, you know, what we went over a couple weeks ago, what that
right.
piece looks like
right.
for you.
How can we look at this in another way? Right.
Exactly.
yeah.
Right. Does anyone have any questions around the clarity of this particular tool? Okay, so we'll dive in a little bit deeper. Let's turn to page 137 in your manual, please. So what I've learned and what I found through going through this program and being a coach and just learning more about this process is that a client has, you know, two basic, like we all do, okay, so I'm just going to put us all in the category as human beings, two basic questions and motivations. One is to avoid pain, and another word for that is aversion, and you may be familiar with this through your yoga practice. The second one is to seek pleasure, which is craving, and typically we are in one or the other of those. Okay, and so you want to be aware of where your client is with those. And those of you who have studied like Buddhism or Hinduism at all know that this directly aligns with those teachings. So those are the two basic motivations of anyone. And so on the flip side of every obstacle is really a desire. And as mentor coaches, we use the tools to help them uncover that desire. So basically, if you can look at it like we are, as coaches, we're creating the opportunity for our clients to show up and then invite the shift. They may not see it, but again, it's the coach's aha moment. And so the way that we get there, what we talked about in the past, is using listening, powerful questions, and holding the client's agenda. And we're going to talk about and explore some other ways that you can create an opportunity for your client to shift their perspective. And that's where we are on page 137. Because basically, at the bottom line is, you can ask yourself this inquiry, it's right there in the middle of the page, what is needed to further the client's objective and enable forward movement? Right, there are no hard and fast rules, but this principle is to allow them to move forward towards the things that they say are important to them. So it's really important to listen to your gut and pay attention to your hunches about your client. This is where intuition comes in, you know, things that we have already touched on a bit. So there are a bunch of bullet points, considerations of ways to get the client to shift their perspective from page 137 through 140. And what I'd like to, how I'd like to design our call for the most part is to ask each one of you to choose one of those bullet points and share with the group how you understand that. And also, how would you apply it to yoga? So choose a bullet point. How do you understand it? And we can have a discussion if there are any concerns or questions. And then how would you apply that consideration in yoga? Because as you know, or learning, you know, how we show up on the mat is pretty much how we show up off. And like I said in the beginning of our conference, sort of tongue-in-cheek, the beginning of our call, the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So there is no order in any way. What calls out to you on these next few pages that you would like to discuss? And again, I'm asking all of you to be mindful that if you're not speaking, just please place yourself on mute. Who would like to go first?
I'll go. This is Christine.
Thank you, Christine.
I will actually do the first one. That one jumped out at me, endorse. And to me, that's really just to affirm. It says when you want to highlight your client's wisdom and creativity, so really just affirming that, you know, acknowledging that they've got good ideas and that they're making good progress. And certainly in my yoga classes, I always try to tell people, you know, when they've done a good job, recognize them maybe if I know that a posture is difficult for them. I always try to throw those out there during the class.
That's great, Christine. And what is the result then in your experience when you show up in this way?
I know that if I'm on the other end, I'm on the receiving end of that, I feel better. I feel that I'm doing well. I feel more positive about things, and I would assume that other people feel that way as well.
Mm-hmm. And as a client in a coaching relationship, would you feel that that would be similar?
I think it would. I think that if I was a client, I would feel that I was making progress. I would be excited about where I was headed.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Does anyone have any questions about how endorsement can be used with your clients? These are pretty straightforward, but always open to answering any inquiries. Okay, great. Who would like to go next?
I'll go, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
I really appreciate summarizing, and I have been practicing doing that in my conversations, and it's helping me to clarify and identify the agenda in coaching terms. And I'm also finding that I had a conversation with my daughter this afternoon, and when I summarize what I'm hearing her say, I can really tell that it helps her to just feel heard, and that really 90% of the time, at least in that context, is really what she needs to just feel heard. And I just find it to be a really effective tool both for the client and for myself, in really making sure that we're on the same page.
Wonderful. And, yeah, especially, I don't know how old your daughter is, probably a teenager, but, the mirroring and the reflecting, which are just synonymous with the word summarize, is really powerful at that age. I think it's powerful at any age, but super powerful at that age. And so would you be able to share how you could apply this to yoga, either as a student or as a teacher? And you're in teacher training now, so you're a teacher.
Well, I think it would be especially important. I'm preparing for a karma class next week and recognize that the students probably have never done yoga before. And so it's going to, I feel, be very important for me that if I ask them to do a particular pose, to really be clear in terms of what they're understanding me say, as well as being very mindful in watching, because otherwise they could get injured. I could be injured. I guess the summarizing, I use it as a tool just to bring clarity to a situation, especially new instruction.
Right, and this is a little tricky because there's not a lot of talking in yoga, right, versus the coach-client relationship where there is constant dialogue. So the piece about being clear and then maybe repeating even your own words, right? Repeating, you know, the key words that will keep them safe.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a way to use this tool in a yoga practice that might benefit, that will definitely benefit.
Okay.
Great. Does that make sense, Jamie?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions on how summarizing could be a way to get the client to shift their perspective? Okay, great. Who would like to go next?
Martha?
I'll go next.
Randy, I'm going to let Carla go next, and you can go after her.
Of course.
Thank you, Carla. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Explain. That resonates with me, and I think explanation is a kind of summarizing, but the way I see it is, I like to, when I talk to people or when I work with somebody, I provide explanation when I ask something, I give explanation just to avoid misinterpretation or no, that's it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great tool to back up your story or to back up your question and to make it more transparent.
Great. And what I hear you saying is it's sort of a way of reframing maybe what the client has said, and here they give an example with a dialogue between a client and a coach, an example. How does that land with you that this might be serving more as a reframing?
Yes. If you put it that way, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I use it most of the time to be more clear, especially because I'm always juggling with the language. I communicate in Dutch, English, Spanish, and Portuguese, and I'm always between those four languages. So that's why I think I made a habit out of it when I ask something or when I give extra explanation to be sure that it is transparent and clear.
Mm.
So that's why I see it more in the line of summarizing.
Yes,
than
absolutely.
Reframing. But it has something of reframing as well. Now that you mention it, absolutely.
And it was just something to consider, but the way that you explained it, no pun intended, makes a lot of sense. And then how would you apply this, Carla, to yoga?
Actually, yes, the thing is, when I'm teaching, when I'm diving into a pose, I try to tell people, to explain why what the asana is doing, why, what it meant, what should do with your organs or with certain muscles, and what are the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. I explain it right away so that it's clear.
And what do you find are the results of your clarity and explanation?
What I get back most of the time is, especially when something is difficult, if you explain why, what the benefits are of certain things, it motivates people to try it, even if it's difficult, because they know what the benefit is, what they are gaining from just to try to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, again, I love the word, you know, the benefits of the postures, the benefits of coaching, the benefits. Once we hear that, it sort of sells us a little bit more into doing. It's interesting that you just said, trying, like they will try, because when someone says, and I know in my coaching practice, and I'll just share this briefly, when someone says, I will try, it's actually a very coachable moment. Not so much in the yoga studio, but again, because there's not a lot of dialogue, unless you are in a one-on-one teaching a private mm-hmm. where there is more dialogue. But it's a great place to explore when someone says, I will try. Because typically there's more to that story around trying rather than doing. So
yes.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Carla. Does anyone have any questions around explanation? Okay. Who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Thanks, Randy. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to pick brainstorm. And I think what strikes me about this is just that I love the sort of collaborative nature with that. I'm assuming that when you brainstorm, you're really in a place where the other person's ready to brainstorm and they're willing to see the possibilities or begin the possibilities, or you've thrown a question out there that says, you know, you're ready to take this on, but it just opens the doors and ideas can begin to be generated, and then, you know, you could expand on them. You can kind of see where that person is, whether they've got tons of ideas or they've got one little idea that you could continue with. But the brainstorming is a way to get people to get that aha moment, like, wow, yeah, I guess I could try that, or yeah, that's also possible too.
Right. Brilliant. That's right exactly on. And then how would you apply this to yoga?
You know, I think that what I was thinking about was, well, again, on the math, a little bit different, but I know I've appreciated when teachers will always mention that, try the position for you that feels right, like inside yourself, kind of brainstorm, you know, where the sweet spot is for this pose, you know, just keep kind of moving around until you get just the right one. So don't feel like you have to start with one and stick with it, but just kind of brainstorm inside as to where the right pose should be for you.
I love that. I've never heard it explained in that way. That is a little aha moment for me. Thank you. That's great. Yeah, so constantly making the adjustments that they feel that they need in their body on that particular day on their mat.
Yeah, I guess it's right. A little body brainstorm.
Right. Thanks, Randy. Does anybody have any questions on brainstorming and how it can be used as a tool to create an opportunity to invite your client to shift? Okay, well, you guys are doing an awesome job of sharing. There's not many questions. Who would like to go next?
Sue, I would like to touch base again. You talked about reframe a little.
Okay.
A new perspective in relationship to yoga. Sometimes with a new student or someone who's struggling, all you have to do is give them a block and show them how to reposition themselves. And that becomes very empowering to them and positive.
Yeah.
They don't feel so helpless. Just one little shift like that is enough to give them some hope that they could do this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is a great example. Using the block or a strap as a tool to set your client up for success. And also, what about modifications? Would you include that in the conversation?
Right. Well, I would consider a block or a strap, you know, a modification, but in relationship to coaching the client, yes. A modification, just a shift in a word, just something that would shift their perspective. And I love it when someone gets that aha moment.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you, Sue, for sharing. That's a great example. Okay, who would like to pick another bullet point? Someone that hasn't gone yet? Your turn to speak up. And we have a little bit of background noise.
Yeah, this is Genevieve, and so I don't have my book because I'm driving, and there's background noise when I unmute, so I'll just take myself off mute and minus me for this conversation.
Okay, so you're driving right now, and you're not able to, obviously, read, which is a good thing. Focus on your driving. Okay, thank you for letting me know that, Genevieve. So who has yet to go, I think? Joyce, maybe?
Joyce. Yeah, can you believe I'm last?
I love that you're last. You're not last. It's just your turn.
Uh-huh. I'm going to take mirror.
Okay.
Which I think is also, I don't know, I almost think it's the most powerful. And it is when someone says something and you actually say it back just like they said it. And it's like, is that what you're saying? And then it's like you're putting it right back on them. It's like, wow, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they can see it clearly. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
And you summarize your, you know, you're doing everything right there. It's like, this is it. And so I think that's the most powerful. I mean, I used it last week with a client I've been working with, and we made a lot of progress that day that I was so worried that maybe I had pushed too hard because we got to a difficult place. And when I called her with the follow-up, she said I hope I didn't push you too much into this place. And she said, no, all you did was mirror exactly what I said. So there's an example right there. That's what I meant earlier when I said there's so much responsibility with this. But if it's a mirror, it's a mirror. You know, you get to see your wrinkles and your warts and everything in your mirror.
Can you say a little bit more about the responsibility piece?
I know. I guess it's worrying me. I'm saying it a lot. I wish they would come to me, or I wish we had simple things like, you know, I'm trying to save money or something, but no, it gets into all these family and marital relationship type things. So you get into real change for people. So, which they can only do it in the time that they can do it. But sometimes you see it and you're furthering them along a little bit. I know that's the plan, that we're supposed to do it, that when it gets into that realm, I get, I feel the responsibility of it.
Mm-hmm. And because I feel this is an important piece, I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but just for a moment, I'd like to address it, that as you learn the tools and principles of being a mentor coach and understanding how the collaborative, process works, you will begin to almost, I'll use your word, embody the fact that it is co-creative, that it is all about the client's agenda. And you're just, again, I love that you pick mirror. You're there to be a mirror for them to see in the places that they would like to change and grow and move forward in, but that you're holding them creative, resourceful, and whole, that it's not up to you to change or fix them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that white paper that I sent out was a beautiful example of discerning the differences. But I understand that most of you are learning how to make the discernment. So I guess the reason I wanted to name this and share a little bit of my thoughts on it is because, yes, there is a sense of commitment, responsibility, and trust, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but also know that it is co-creative, that you and your client are equal partners in this relationship, so that the weight doesn't fall on you. They're equal partners. I don't know if that helps or not, but it's just something to sort of chew on and continuing mm-hmm. to understand what your role is in that relationship, because it's more empowering and serving. But I think that will come as you continue to build the muscle and gain more confidence. So I hope that's helpful, Joyce. I just wanted to address that because I was thinking maybe some other participants had the same question or the same feeling.
No, I'm glad you spoke further.
Great. Okay. Any questions on mirroring? Great. Okay, and as you can see through these pages that there are numerous ways to, and numerous considerations, ways to get your client to think about things differently and inviting the shift. And again, it's really important to be mindful that even you're having that aha moment and you're inviting them into that space with you, but not at the expense of hijacking their agenda, unless the shift or that impetus for the shift comes from the client, it won't have as great an impact as if you suggest it. So it's easy, like when we see it and we think we see it and it's clear to us, it's a time to be a little bit disciplined about, you can make suggestions, you can make hunches, but in this place, it's really, really important to continue using the tools to uncover, unpack, go, peel back the layers and allow the client to come to that place from, on their own terms. Which is important. Okay, what questions, opening it up to the group, have come up so far in our discussion? Anything that I can clarify? Anything you have questions on, experiences that you've had that may sound the same, may sound different?
I appreciated you sharing that last piece because I know this is really about other things besides questions, but I know when you, let's say, give advice or give information or train and redirect, you're moving away to some degree, or at least whatever, from the client's agenda to your own experience. So I guess I would say if there's any more you want to say around that or pitfalls, because it does seem like what you're saying is if there's a collaborative relationship there and they're open to it, they're ready for advice or training, then it works. But anything more you'd want to say about this piece of giving your advice from your perspective as a coach?
Well, thanks, Rini. Well, you bring up, a great point, and it's a lot of conversation around this as people get to sort of understand where the boundaries are in coaching. And, again, that it's a co-creative relationship, that two people are working together towards the client's goal. I know I've said that quite often. I personally tend to shy away from the language of advice. That's just me. Suggestions, open-ended questions, the tools that you're learning are actually more of a substitute for giving advice. It's like you're creating this container. Think about you're creating this container for your client to show up fully, authentically, with all of their fears and their resistance and their excitement and their goals and who they are by listening, number one, by asking the powerful questions, by using some of these bullet points that we talked about today and many more that we didn't talk about to empower the client to come to these places on their own with your support, but with the impetus coming from them. So I don't know, for me, the word advice sometimes connotates sort of a hierarchy versus an equal playing field. And so I just invite you to maybe shift the language a little bit, maybe come up with a word that lands with you, because it has a different energy.
Right. And I'm hearing you say, use judiciously and as feels comfortable in your own practice.
Exactly. And if you're using all these tools appropriately and in the context of the coaching relationship, what happens? It happens. It just gels. It coalesces into something greater than what either of you could have achieved alone. Great question. Great inquiry.
Sasha, this is Jamie. There's something that's coming up that I just wanted to share really briefly, and it's because of my yoga teacher training, but the point of letting go with any of these tools, letting go of the outcome. It seems like I keep thinking of, in the Gita we're reading about selfless service. And I think of these tools in the sense of the action that we're taking it within this co-creative relationship and letting go of the outcome of where it takes the client.
Mm. Exactly, whose agenda are we following?
Exactly, theirs. So, and I guess I've experienced this with a young woman who I've been working with now for a couple of months, and it's been a real opportunity for me to, I might be able to see things, and I've utilized a few of these tools, but I've had to really let go of the outcome. It's her path. It's her journey. And that feels different.
In what ways?
A long time ago, and certainly coming from the cultural context and familial context I came from, it was all about
somebody else directing my path. And so the advice that was being given to me in that context was very controlling and felt very directive as opposed to very empowering. And in this relationship with this young woman and a couple of other mentees that I'm working with, younger women, I'm finding that if I let go of the outcome, I'm simply, like, it's like I'm walking along the path with them.
Mm.
But if they veer off to the right or to the left or go back a couple of steps, that's totally okay. That's their process. So I just let go of the outcome. And it feels very empowering. That's the word.
I couldn't agree with you more. Empowerment is huge here, and that especially in this conversation. Empowering your client, empowering your students to meet themselves exactly where they are, and you meet them there too, right? That's all we can ask of ourselves on our mats. Certain day, if we're tired, if we're dealing with an injury, if we're just our mind, we just can't shut it off, monkey mind, right? Is the best that we can do is meet ourselves where we are. That is the practice. Breathing through the stress, breathing through the tension, breathing through maybe not wanting to be on your mat, but the practice over and over again. And it really, some of these things so clearly show up in the client-coach relationship, meeting them where they are and using your tools to, again, hold that space, hold that container until they're ready to, you know, move forward. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. So in just a couple minutes here before we're at the top of the hour, what I wanted, again, to just open up here is some shares on how you feel judgment could negate the coaching process. How does that play a role? How might that come in? Just talking a little bit about judgment, because I think we do it unconsciously sometimes in our culture. We're just kind of prone to that language sometimes. Anybody want to share how judgment could be a detriment to the coaching relationship? And a great way to consider answering that is just to reflect on your own experience. How have you felt when you feel like you've been judged? Or how do you feel when you feel like you have judged someone?
This is Carla.
Go ahead, Carla.
I think if you seek help, If you find a coach or a therapist or whatever, and you seek help for something that you are dealing with, it takes a lot of courage before you take that step for a lot of people. And if the coach is judgmental, it doesn't help, because you're not very stable with the situation anyway that you brought up. It costs a lot of energy, it costs a lot of strength, courage, everything, and you probably you've been struggling with the issue for a long time before you decide to ask for help. And if the one who is supposed to help you to go further, comes with a judgment, it's painful.
Thank you for sharing. And this is not meant to judge our judgments in any way, but just to notice how we show up, the language that we use, and how sometimes without our knowledge, just from coming from what's the word I'm looking for, our the repetition of language that we use that we're not called on, how that might affect your client. So it's just something to consider as, again, building this relationship with your client, and also just continue using your intuition more on an increasing basis. So those are the last two things I just wanted to mention there as tools. Okay, we are at the top of the hour, and before we get into our coaching call, we're going to take a little different format on this. Obviously, the coaching call is going to happen, so Sue will be coaching Carla, and Christine, when they're finished, will provide the feedback. After Christine, I will then provide any perspectives that I have, and then we will open it up to the group for any feedback. I'm sorry, after me, then goes the coach, and then open it up to the group for any feedback. Okay? So, ladies, you have 15 minutes. Watch your time. Everyone but Sue and Carla, please mute yourselves. Give us a minute, ladies, and then have a great session.
Thank you.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Sue.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you so much. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice.
Thank
Tell
you.
Me what's going on. What kind of a week did you have?
It was a little bit of a challenging week because I had to leave for Curacao because the father of one of my best and oldest friends passed away. And there was a lot of family dynamics with the whole thing. And he needed me there to support him because there was a big issue. He wanted to cremate his father, and the rest of the family was fiercely against it. So... It was a little bit hectic.
You lost a good friend this week? You lost some, I haven't heard him here. You lost a friend or a friend's father?
A friend's father.
His father. Okay.
Yes,
I feel your pain. You know, Carla, I lost someone this week too. A very dear friend. She was 68 years old. So, I'm in mourning also. I feel your pain. So you had to travel and it was a difficult week to get back on track with what you wanted to do, correct?
Yes, absolutely. It was, and because I just came back, so it's I had to arrange things quickly again, and I like to travel a lot, but not when it's like that. I like to prepare my things thoroughly before I travel, and it came up, and the next in a couple overnight I have to go. So, but it's all right.
Right.
Everything went okay, and when I left there, it was all pretty good, and the funeral was beautiful and perfect. So it's okay.
Nice. So, how can I help you today? What is it that we could discuss, talk about? What do you want to try to do this week? You know, do you need help getting back on track? Give me some. How can I help you?
My question, what I would like to ask you, have nothing to do with last week, or a little bit with last week, because I was confronted with this last week a couple of times. When you are talking with a friend, just a conversation, regular conversation, and at some point the conversation changes and goes more, it becomes like a coaching session.
How do you deal with that?
So you're talking with a friend, because I'm kind of having a hard time hearing you a little bit. You're talking with a friend, and it turns into a coaching session?
Yes. The questions that you get, you have a lunch, you are lunching or dinner or whatever with a friend, and just to socialize but in the middle of the conversation, because they know you are a coach and that you are coaching, the conversation change and isn't a conversation between friends anymore. Suddenly it's just a session, a coaching session. And
right.
I don't like that part because the rules are different. But
so this is a friend of yours, you're out for dinner, correct? Or lunch, and you just want to have it light and easy, and before you know it, it turns into a coaching session, which is not the right setting for you.
Yes, absolutely. And what I'm struggling with is how can you stop it to be a session without being rude or without hurting the other person?
Let's think about this. Maybe just being honest. This is just not the setting right now to be coaching. I would really like to enjoy your company and not discuss coaching, because this is just not the setting for this. Maybe, you know, we could put some time aside when I'm in a better frame of mind for coaching. But right now, I would like to enjoy your company. What do you think?
That's a good one.
Sometimes honesty is the best policy. I don't know. In a nice way. It's not, you know, what you say, it's how you say it sometimes.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. If you really don't want to coach right then and there, to just say, this is not a platform for coaching, and I really would like to just enjoy your company and not feel like I'm coaching you.
Yes, I hear you, and that's, I understand that, but I actually something that you see that the other one is struggling with, and that it's important to address it.
But you feel like you are not in a way to address it at that point. Because you're out here.
But I can address it at that point, but it's clearly not, it's like sometimes a part of me feels tricked into a free coaching session. You know what I mean?
Yes. Now, do you
hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I'm having a little hard time, but I do hear you. So sometimes you feel like it's a free coaching session. Yes. Maybe can you divert the conversation to what do you think of the weather? Just maybe kind of change the conversation. Think about that. How could you change the conversation into something that makes you more comfortable?
That's a good one. So what you're saying is when they ask the question, I get it.
I can just
answer and then try to change the subject and just keep it light and
I was just going to say that.
Like the casual conversation that you used to have.
Keep it light. Keep it light. Nice shoes. You know, what are you going to have? Are you enjoying your salad? Just try to, to divert it. Because if you're uncomfortable, you have to, how do you feel when this is going on? How are you feeling? What are your thoughts? Your mind is not into this, right?
No, absolutely not. And like I said, sometimes I feel like it's taking advantage out of me because that wasn't the setup. Just friends together having fun, and then it turns out to be something else.
Right. My other thought is maybe this person is very comfortable talking to you. Maybe you might want to think about how, she is able to relate to you. And kind of take that as a compliment. But you have to... A compliment that this person is comfortable talking to you about the situation. I'm hearing that you're saying that you don't want to because you feel like you're being taken advantage of. Right? Correct or no?
Yes. That's correct. If it's only one question or two questions, that's perfect. That's because that's what friends are for. We are here to help each other and to listen to each other and advise each other. But sometimes it turns in a real session, so it doesn't stop at one thing. It keeps going on.
Right. How intimate of a relationship do you have with this person? How long have you known her? What's your relationship with her?
Oh, I know her for almost 20 years.
20 years? Okay.
Yes. So we know each other. The other thing, I'm not a fan of coaching friends. Friendship and coaching, that's something.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't feel right. I have a problem with charging friends for something because I feel that's part of the friendship. And you're in the friendship.
Right.
You're there to help each other.
What if you turned it around to having her be one of your coaching your practice sessions? How about that? What if you use this woman, not used her, what if you turned it into a practice session for your core coach reporting form? And use it as a practice
session. I could do that. But I have to find a tool because I can do it right now because I'm doing this coaching program. But after the program, I have to find a tool to change this because this is something that it doesn't happen once. It happens more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. How many times about did you have a practice session with her about?
Last week was the third time.
Third time.
That it turned out to be just to. Yes, in a coaching session.
Mm-hmm. So how could we switch the perception of what you are actually feeling and doing when you are sitting there with the, do you think maybe you might not want to join her anymore because you're feeling taken advantage of? Maybe the energy, you know, is you might want to put it elsewhere. You know, we all have our gut feeling and, you know, you have to go by how your body feels. So if you're not comfortable, then how could you switch this to your advantage, which is why I'm thinking of, you know, you feel like she's using you, but maybe you could turn this around and use her for your 20 core coach sessions.
Ladies, you have 1 minute to wrap this up.
I think that's a good one. I didn't think of that because I love the idea of using, but that's a good one. I didn't think of that. So that's a good one.
Turning your route to your advantage?
I would propose that to her. Yes.
Okay.
I would propose that to her.
So what do you want to, what can you do for this week to help you resolve this, have some kind of a goal on how to address the situation so that you feel better about it and you don't feel bad about, you know, trying to sit with someone that you're uncomfortable with?
This sounds weird, but the simple suggestion that you did to just use it for my 20 sessions, that's, I feel all right. I feel okay already. So that's the first thing that I'm going to do. I will call her tomorrow and I will officially ask her if it's all right with her that we have a couple of sessions.
Exactly. And then maybe you might want to think about telling her after these sessions, then I, you know, I'm going to be, when I get certified, or I'm not exactly sure how you would say it, but I think our time is up, Sasha, and I don't want to go over here. Are we up?
Yes, we are out of time, ladies, so
okay.
We're going to have to hold
Carla,
it
was great talking to you, Carla.
Okay. So, Sue and Carla, if you wouldn't mind putting yourselves on mute. Christine, could you come off mute and give your feedback around that coach-to-coach session, please. What you heard, what you noticed, what worked.
I like how Sue started. She said, it's good to hear your voice. She said, what kind of a week did you have? And I think that's really important because nothing exists in a vacuum. And so if we're struggling with other issues, even maybe if it's not the issue that we bring to a coaching session, you know, it can make those things harder. It's just everything is connected. And so I thought that was really good that she said, what kind of week did you have? I heard Sue clarify. I heard her show empathy. I liked it. At one point she said, let's think about this. And that really struck me as being very collaborative and co-created, like we talked about today. I feel like she didn't ask a lot of questions at the beginning of the session, but she kind of hit her stride later on in the session, and she was asking more open-ended questions. I might have delved deeper into why specifically this friend's behavior made Carla uncomfortable. I thought maybe that might help her brainstorm some more solutions on how to attack the problem. She did a good job with the next steps and the follow-up, I thought.
Great. Thank you, Christine. That's a pretty powerful example of how to use listening. A lot of what you said is some of the things I heard as well. So great session, ladies. Again, I know 15 minutes seems like 3 minutes in this context. So what I noticed the most for Sue is that in addition to what Christine already shared about, you know, the way you opened up and the nurturing quality and checking in and being collaborative, is the really, I want you to continue to work on the powerful questions, because while you had some brilliant suggestions, we want the, like we talked about today, we want the answers to come from the client. And so it ended up being more yes or no, and Carla sort of chewing on your suggestions rather than you opening up with powerful questions to incite her dialogue, to consider what's working for her, what's not working for her, and to allow her, like, remember, the change comes from the client, right? They need the impetus to make it land. And while she was considering, and some of the things you said did land with her, this coaching relationship, we really want the answers to come from the client by us listening, which you did a brilliant job of, but then asking more powerful questions. Again, the suggestions were good, but keep it simple. You know, even in the beginning, you started off brilliantly, like, how may I support you? And then you ask three more questions after that. So rather than thinking of it as a multiple choice, just keep it super simple. That is a powerful question to start in with. How may I support you? And then you can go from there. The steps were all gotten to, except for framing the session. And again, I think you guys just ran out of time. But the piece that we were exploring today and discussing in depth is inviting the shift. And I think you definitely did get her to shift her perspective. So instead of thinking it, instead of meeting with this friend for lunch or dinner, to find a way to add that in to her 20 coaching sessions for this program. And so that was great. So that's a few of my perspectives. You know, just continue to empower the client to come up with the answers on their own. All right. So before we allow time for both Carla and Sue to speak, let's just take about 3 or 4 minutes here. If anyone else in the group would like to give Sue some feedback that will help her go from good to great. And maybe, Genevieve, I know you're driving and you don't have to read on this one. I just encouraging your participation if you can, if you're feeling like it's appropriate with any noise in the background. But I would love to hear from you on this call if you so choose.
Yes, Randy, and I just think you said it well, Sasha. I just kind of agree with your assessment. So,
thanks. Thank you. If you do have anything to add to what Christine or I said, and again, here comes Genevieve. Okay.
Hi, this is Genevieve. I don't think that there's anything to add, but I guess I have a question in reference to that, that yes, more powerful questions to ask so that it does come from the client. And I did have a coaching session with somebody the other day, and yeah, you had those aha moments, and it sounds kind of weird to just keep asking question after question after question. Because it's almost like you do have an agenda to get the client to say what you, to have the aha moment that you have for yourself that you want them to see. Does that, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And it's a great insight. I can understand and see how somebody might view that as just coach asks question, client answers, coach asks question, client answers. And it's less structured than that. There is a dialogue going on. There is a conversation. There's reflecting back. There are statements. There are interruptions if the coach does have that aha moment to get the client to explore more deeply in what they just said. But I guess the point I'm trying to instill is that we are, as coaches, again, holding the container, keeping the client accountable, keeping them creative, resourceful, and whole in knowing that they're not meeting our agenda. Our agenda is just to keep them held accountable towards the things that are important to them. And we're just mirroring back. We're using our tools. We're asking the questions that allow them to go a little bit deeper into the exploration of what it is that will serve them. Is that helpful at all, Genevieve?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help to clarify a little bit?
Yeah, I understand that process. It just feels weird when, we're saying that we're trying to not have our own agenda but follow the client's agenda. But we see very clearly as the coach sometimes, something that may be hindering them or that aha moment, as we call them. And so instead of saying, oh, so do you see where your thinking is, blah, 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 anyway.
That's perfect.
You can say that.
That's your intervention moment.
Okay. I just felt like that was like telling them how it was.
If it's an ongoing, if you're constantly telling, there's this dance between question and answer and intervention and conversation. It's this dance, and you learn the right time to make that intervention.
Okay.
Thanks, Genevieve. Great question. Anyone else want to share or add any more insights? If not, I would like to check in with Carla to ask what your experience was like during that session. What worked for you? What maybe you wanted more of?
It was all right, but the suggestion that Phil gave to me about the 20 coaching sessions, to be honest, that never came up in my mind. So I'm glad with that tool, because I can really use it. I will call her. I will give her that suggestion, and after that, it opens the door for me to make everything clear about how we will move on further with the relationship. So I'm glad. I'm happy.
Yes, that's great. And that was the inviting you to shift. That's exactly what we talked about for this entire call. So that was a huge success. Thank you for sharing your feedback.
Absolutely.
Sue, what are your thoughts?
Hello. I feel like I was kind of struggling to hear her a little bit. It was a little muffled at times, and I wanted to be sure that I got everything she was saying, but sometimes I was getting every other, and, I was kind of focusing on, I really couldn't, sometimes I could not, she was not clear. Was it just me, or did you hear that too?
I think everyone else is on mute. I heard her okay.
I heard her, but I felt like I was struggling to hear with a little muffle, And that was a little, you know, I was like, oh, I can't hear her, and I want to help her, but I want to talk to her. But I, just a few times, I feel like I missed a few things that she was saying. That's all. For me, that's what I heard, and that's how I felt. And I wanted to give her my undivided, you know, attention, but there was a few moments when I wasn't really clear as to what she was saying.
And I think you did a great job.
Thanks.
Given that, and you didn't let it fluster you or cause any frustration, but you actually named it. You said, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you repeat it? Perfect. But regarding some of the other places, aside from the certain moments where the quality of the call was diminished, any other reflections from you?
I felt very like, oh, Carla, you know, you're just so sweet. You know, I felt like I had a connection with her and I understood her, the whole death thing I just had, and I understand about being taken advantage of totally. So I know, we know where she was coming from with that, but then you have to take a step back and not, you know, right, not really share all that as a coach. I know where you're coming from. Sometimes I feel abused and used to, you know, so, but I thought, oh, what a nice lady. You know, how can I assist her? You know, how can I help her get to the next level of comfort, you know, in her life? And, you know, I felt a connection.
Okay. And connection is super important. And yes, it's totally fine to share a similar experience. It just enables you two to relate on some common ground. So just pick and choose and the timing of it wisely. And that's great. All right. Well, as always, there's never enough time, but we are out of time for today. I just want to thank all of you for showing up in your full authenticity, because it really does impact our learning in a huge way. So thank you. It's on your syllabus, and just to mention again, if you need more clarity, just reach out to me beyond this call. Read pages 127 through 131. Not a lot of OM work here. Review pages, simple coaching model, page 97 through 100. And then instead of giving you page numbers on the yoga supplement, just read lesson 4 in there on awareness and take the action challenges after that section. Lesson 4 on awareness and take the action challenges. Okay. Thank you all so very much. I hope you have a wonderful week. Let me know how I can support you. And we'll talk next week. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.